Ukrainian foreign minister criticizes the Arab League for giving Syria's seat to the foreign-sponsored rebels. Iran summons Saudi Arabia's chargé d'affaires in Tehran over Riyadh allegations against the Islamic Republic. BRICS member states express concern over unilateral sanctions and military threats against Iran. Iraq terms a decision by the Arab League to head the Syria's seat to opposition as violation of the organization's charter. And North Korea says it is informing the United Nations of an imminent nuclear war on the Korean Peninsula. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, the Iranian foreign minister has criticized the Arab League for giving Syria a seat to the foreign-sponsored opposition bloc, saying the move will further complicate a crisis in the Arab country. Ali Akbar Salehi said on Wednesday that mistakes are being made in the process of resolving the Syrian crisis and these wrong moves will create problems for resolving the crisis in this country. Salehi stressed that the wrong decision taken by the Arab League members would backfire on them. The Iranian foreign minister underlined that the Syrian issue must be resolved logically, legally, and according to international law. Salehi added that arming foreign-backed militants and mercenaries fighting against Damascus would lead to more bloodshed in the Arab country. Iran has summoned the Saudi Arabia's chargé d'affaires in Tehran over Riyadh allegations that the Islamic Republic has links to a spy cell in the Arab Kingdom. The Iranian Foreign Ministry summoned the diplomat in the absence of the Saudi ambassador on Wednesday to protest the baseless and the repetitive scenario and to request a formal explanation from the Saudi side. Meanwhile, scores of Saudi clerics and activists of the state have urged the al-Saud regime to release the 18 people arrested last week for allegedly having links to Iran. The 18 arrested people have denied the accusations and blamed the government for using such pretext to divert public attention from the Saudi people's demands for reform and the improvement of the kingdom's human rights situation. Saudi activists say there are more than 30,000 political prisoners, mostly prisoners of conscience, in jails across the kingdom. Now, the BRICS group of emerging powers has expressed concern over unilateral sanctions and threats of military action against the Islamic Republic of Iran. On the second day of the group's fifth annual summit, held in the South African city of Durban on Wednesday, BRICS member states called for a political and diplomatic means to deal with the issue of Iran's nuclear energy program. BRICS nations further voiced deep concern over nearly 2 years of ongoing unrest in Syria. The group's leaders urged a Syrian-led political process to resolve the crisis through dialogue that meets the legitimate aspirations of all sections of Syrian society and respect for Syrian independence. In the meantime, and during the meeting, the BRICS nations agreed to contribute an initial $50 billion to establish a development bank, which is hoped to give the top emerging economies greater influence on the world stage. Meantime, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has called on the BRICS groups of emerging powers to help stop the violence in the Arab country. In a message sent to the group on Wednesday, Assad asked the BRICS leaders to work together to immediately stop the violence in Syria in order to guarantee the success of a political solution. The Syrian president added that ending nearly 2 years of deadly unrest in Syria requires a clear international will to dry up the sources of terrorism and stop funding and arming foreign-backed militants fighting against Damascus. Also, the Iraqi foreign minister says a decision by the Arab League to hand the Syrian government seat to the foreign-backed opposition is a violation of the organization's charter. Hoshyar Zebari stated that the name of the Arab League is the Arab League, which is representative of the member states, which are selected governments which have legitimacy and express and represent their people. He added that the measures would only complicate the situation in Syria and intensify the violence in the Arab country. The Arab League summit in the Qatari capital Doha has given the green light to its members to send arms to the foreign-backed militants fighting against the Syrian government. On Tuesday, the Arab League issued a resolution at the summit giving member states the right to offer the militants all the means of what it called self-defense, including weapons. And before we continue, here is a recap of our top stories. Iranian foreign minister criticizes the Arab League for giving Syria's seat to the foreign-sponsored rebels. Iran summons Saudi Arabia's chargé d'affaires in Tehran over Riyadh allegations against the Islamic Republic. BRICS member states express concern over unilateral sanctions and military threats against Iran. Iraq terms a decision by the Arab League to hand the Syria seat to opposition as violation of the organization's charter. And North Korea says it is informing the United Nations of an imminent nuclear war on the Korean Peninsula. A US-led foreign soldier has been killed in an attack in the troubled eastern Afghanistan as foreign fatalities continue to rise across the war-ravaged country. NATO confirmed the death of its troop, but did not close the soldier's nationality, nor did it provide further details on the whereabouts of the incident. The increasing number of military casualties in Afghanistan has caused widespread anger in the United States and other NATO member states, undermining public support for the Afghan war. Meanwhile, local residents in Afghanistan's Logar province say at least 20 people have been killed in a military operation by the US-led foreign troops. The residents said on Wednesday that most of those killed in the two-day operation were women and children. The attack comes despite Afghan President Hamid Karzai's criticism of NATO raids in Afghan villages, particularly those in which civilians are killed.
I've lost my two sons and my husband in the operation. Also, my house is totally destroyed. From 9 o'clock at night until 5 o'clock in the morning, our houses were under mortar attack. And this massacre you see is done by Americans. This has been done by Americans.
Now, Control Arms, a joint campaign coalition of over 100 non-profit organizations, has built a replica military helicopter on a New York rooftop as 190 governments are concluding a diplomatic conference on the arms trade treaty at the United Nations. Members of the UN are negotiating on what could become the first international treaty to regulate the $70 billion global conventional arms trade.
Really important that we have a strong treaty. You know, there is regulation for the trade in bananas, in postage stamps, but not international regulation for the way in which arms are traded around the world. And that is absolutely shocking and has to be put right. We have diplomats from every country in the UN building at the moment, and our demand for them, our call, is to make this treaty the strongest possible. One person dies every minute of every day, and that's what this treaty needs to bring to an end.
Now, a pro-Palestinian group has launched a New York City transit and campaign critical of the Zionist regime and of the U.S. for its support of the regime of Tel Aviv. The ads urge U.S. leaders to stop aid to the Tel Aviv regime. The group said the unveiling was timely, saying U.S. President Barack Obama's visit to the occupied territories contracts the peace process between the two regions.
When the president goes and visits Israel just this past week, and to speak as if he's a neutral party to the conflict while he's essentially funding it from our own tax money, we wanted to highlight this and to actually say that our current policy have been a failure, and essentially we have become almost a cheerleading squad for Israeli policies, its continued expansion, continued building of settlement, confiscation of Palestinian land, and also Pentecost strategies that the Israelis have been pursuing in the region. So that's where the timing of this campaign and the rationale for it at this particular time.
Campaign is a critical step toward piercing the muzzle and lifting the blinders of the racist Israeli narrative. It is a critical step toward reclaiming our constitutional rights from the fangs of Israeli apartheid. And we are all the more hopeful that it will empower our friends, our neighbors, fellow New Yorkers to call for an end to our government's support for Israeli apartheid, military occupation, and the ethnic cleansing of Palestine.
Now at least 49,000 people, including 15,000 security personnel, have been killed in violence in Pakistan since the 9/11 attacks in the United States. According to a report presented to Pakistan's Supreme Court, attacks carried out by bombers have claimed the lives of over 9,000 people and security men in the tribal regions over the past 5 years. The report said the number of civilians who lost their lives stood at some 6,000, with another 6,000 others injured during the same period. It added that the five-year span saw 3,000 militants being killed and over 1,000 injured in operations carried out by the Pakistani army in the tribal regions. Now, North Korea says it is informing the United Nations of an imminent nuclear war on the Korean Peninsula due to provocations from Washington and Seoul. This comes after the Korean Central News Agency reported that North Korean leaders are scheduled to meet in the coming days to make a decision on an important issue. Analysts in South Korea believe decisions on international relations, security, and also the reshuffling of personnel will be made at the meeting. On March 11th, Seoul and Washington launched a week-long annual joint military maneuver near the Korean Peninsula, despite warnings from Pyongyang. The maneuver involved 10,000 South Korean soldiers and about 3,000 U.S. troopers. Now, thousands of employees of the Bank of Cyprus have occupied Nicosia headquarters to protest at the reconstructing deal within the EU bailout, fearing that the merger could result in job cuts. The demonstration came after the country's largest commercial bank announced plans to take over Laiki Bank, which is the island's second largest bank, also known as Cyprus Popular Bank. Meantime, the Cypriot Central Bank has fired the entire board of the executive vice president of the Bank of Cyprus following the announcement of a bailout plan for the Eurozone country. Reports say that the decision was part of a reconstructing deal within the EU bailout. Nicosia secured a 10 billion euro bailout deal on Monday, which included a tax of up to 40% on deposits of over 100,000 euros in the country's two biggest banks. And finally, harsh austerity measures imposed on the European governments have led to a surge in suicide rates and the outbreak of diseases not normally seen in Europe. In a report published by Lancet, authors say that the deep budget cuts and the growing unemployment rate have resulted in worsened health among European citizens, with more people being diagnosed with depression. The report added that the worsening health conditions were not just due to unemployment, but also to the lack of social welfare system. As an instance, it showed that the suicide rate in Greece rose by 40% in 2011 compared to the previous year. Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye.